Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. As always, we'll begin with some of today's top headlines. The first story reads, Preparing for Veterans Day, Raising Spirits, Silver Star Winner. Sydney Man, 91, lets his fingers do the talking. This article is written by Dave Hinton and is based out of Sydney. Non-agenarian Fred Olds isn't stuck in the past. Having lived more than 9 decades, Olds still drives, he texts, and he said if it weren't for the computer, he probably wouldn't have started expressing himself through the written word. A grandma Moses of sorts, only using a different art medium, Olds began writing later in life. I'm a terrible writer in cursive, the Sydney native says, but the computer has opened the door for me to write. Otherwise, I would probably write very little. The computer has allowed me to move stuff around, erase words, put in different words, hit a button, and you can put in synonyms. He also said he's still got a pretty good imagination. He'll often have an idea pop into his head while lying in bed, and he has to be sure to get up and write it down or the thought will be gone in the morning. Still, Olds says, at age 91, I feel like I'm 91. Fortunately, I'm mobile. My back hurts sometimes. You take a couple of Anacin and go on. Olds recently published his first children's book, The Dog and the Flea, a whimsical rhyming story, according to daughter Robin Kuhnline, that spins the tale of two rivals. It is illustrated by Robert T. Tong, Jr. He earlier wrote Read Aloud Stories with Fred, a collection of Aesop Fables-style short stories. Olds' original story was a murder mystery, The Hobo Who Wasn't. All are available on Amazon. The ideas keep coming, and Olds has other stories in the works. As an author, I don't like to brag about myself, he said, but when comparing his work to others he has read, he feels his holds up. Olds didn't start writing until retirement. He didn't have time. The father of four still stays busy making daily trips to Tolono's Arbor Rose nursing home to see his wife, Norma Jean, and focusing on his writing. He's a unique person, Kuhnline said. He's written for a long, long time and participated in a writer's group that used to meet at Barnes & Noble. She said for his children, her father also wrote a history of his time in the service. Olds grew up in Portland, Maine, and enlisted in the Army at age 17. He was part of the occupation of Japan after World War II from 1947 to 1949. He saw frontline duty in Korea, serving in the 10th Field Artillery Battalion, 3rd Infantry Division, including time as a forward observer. That's why he's partially deaf in one ear. He earned the Silver Star, which is awarded for gallantry. Olds had 4 brothers also see combat duty, 3 in World War II and another 1 in Korea. All the Olds brothers came home unscathed. As a man who has lived history, Olds said he never considered writing it. I love reading history, but it takes a great deal of research to write about it, he said. You really have to dig into the facts. I just don't have time to do that. So he lets his imagination run wild and writes fanciful books and novels. After Olds' military service ended, he migrated to Illinois for work in 1952. He had jobs in a Danville bakery and for a Southern Illinois propane company before hiring on with the Postal Service in 1958, working on the fly between St. Louis and Pittsburgh in a moving railway post office, a rail car equipped to sort mail attached to a passenger train. He was transferred to Urbana in 1968 and retired in 1990. He and Norma Jean have been married for 54 years. He has 4 daughters and 2 stepsons. Olds began writing when he contributed to his church's newsletter before joining the writers' group at Barnes & Noble. When you're in a critique group, you can evaluate how good yours is, he said, adding that the key is to write and rewrite. I'm having a little success in publishing. I'm not a great writer by any means. Some of my stuff is humorous. It's an ego booster to know what you've written is being read. And there's several pictures in the newspaper. The first one is of retired postal worker and Korean War veteran Fred Olds, 91, of Sydney, has published three books and is working on more. There's a picture of him in his house. He's got a mask in his hand, and behind him on the wall is a family portrait of him and his family. And then there's another picture of him sitting, and here's a caption. Fred Old sits at his computer in his dining room, where he does all of his writing, at his home in Sydney on Wednesday. So he has a computer or a laptop on a table, and he's looking at it. And then there's a picture of some of the books that he's written. So that's great. The next headline reads, November 11th, 2020 will be a publication for honoring all who have served brothers in arms. From Champagne school buddies to World War II battlefields and back, aging veterans still going strong. So it's a highlight of tomorrow, which is Veterans Day, and that will be some stories will be based and focused on that. The next headline reads, let's get this party started. Actually, it says there will be no print edition on Wednesday in honor of Veterans Day. Visit newsgazette.com for updates. November 25th. The ranking this much anticipated Illini team received in the, I think it's 25, sorry. The ranking this much anticipated Illini team received in the preseason Associated Press Top 25 poll released Monday, the highest preseason ranking for the program since the historic 2004-2005 team started out at number 5. So this is in reference to our basketball team this year. Preseason, all Big Ten players Brad Underwood has in his starting lineup. Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn earned that distinction Monday, part of 10 players across the conference receiving this recognition. There's still no official schedule yet for the Illini, but the day before Thanksgiving marks the official date of the college basketball season, a season like no other taking place during a pandemic. And so there's two pictures in the paper, one of Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn. And so we'll see what this season, the basketball season this year, looks like for the U of I. The next headline reads, coronavirus dine-in restrictions. It's not the best. State mandate taking toll on area eateries. Health district has fielded a few complaints. This article is written by Deborah Pressey and is based out of Champaign. While some restaurants have continued serving indoors in defiance of a state order, other complying establishments are making do with carryout sales and outdoor dining with the help of some unseasonably warm weather. How well serving outdoors will continue to go, says Ron Haddix, owner of Champagne's Fiesta Cafe, we will find out on Wednesday, I guess, when the temperature drops. Dr. David Fletcher of SafeWorks Illinois talks COVID-19 vaccines with host Brian Barnhart on WDWS 1400 AM today. Sorry to continue the article. No indoor service and required 11 p.m. closing time are among the coronavirus mitigation restrictions in a state order that took effect November 2nd for the entire region that includes Champaign and 20 surrounding counties. Haddix said he doesn't agree with the restrictions, but he's complying anyway. Several customers dining outdoors still go in to use the restrooms, and some come in and sit down thinking indoor service is still available, Haddix said, and we have to shoo them out. I personally don't support it, he said of the restrictions, but we do have outdoor space. There are other establishments that don't, Haddix said, and for those continuing to serve indoors, that's between them and the governor and the health department. There's a lot of differences with what people have available. Jose Perez, one of the managers of Urbana's Hickory River Smokehouse, said that restaurant is also complying with the restriction and making the best of what business is available without indoor service. At this point, we're just trying to follow all the government orders, he said. I know it's not the best, but at the same time, it's a little safer for employees. Employed with Hickory River for 20 years, Perez said he knows a lot of businesses are getting hurt. But at this point, it's not about making money or trying to make a living, he said. It's about trying to make everybody safe. The way Perez sees it, if you're a restaurant owner, you'd better appreciate your employees and look for safety of the customer. Soon after the restrictions on indoor service were announced, owners at Buford's Pub in Sadorus, Lil Buford's in Tolono, and Apple Dumpling in Urbana said they'd continue serving indoors. Two restaurants that were observed last week with people seated indoors were Mary Ann's Diner and El Toro at the Fields, both in Champaign. An owner or manager at Mary Ann's couldn't be reached Monday. Jen Landier, El Toro manager and wife of owner Victor Fuentes, said the three El Toro locations in Champaign are serving only outdoors and for carryout. "I wasn't there over the weekend. If some people wanted to sit inside, they may have let them," she said. "We're just trying to follow the mandate as best we can." The El Toro at the Fields location has the most patio space of the three locations in Champaign, Landier said. But the restriction is still having an impact, and some staff cuts have had to be made. "Regardless of the size of the patio, it's still affecting us quite a bit, and unfortunately, we're just trying to hang in there," she said. They are currently looking into a heated tent area for El Toro at the Fields, Landier said. "The challenge with a heated tent," she said, "is how is that different from indoor dining?" As of Monday, city officials in Champaign and Urbana said they hadn't received any complaints about restaurants or bars continuing to serve indoors, nor has Champaign County Sheriff Dustin Huerman, he said. But the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is following up on several complaints, according to Administrator Julie Pride. Information on the status of those complaints wasn't available from the Public Health District, but as of Monday, County State's Attorney Julia Reitz said her office hadn't received any requests from the Health District for court enforcement. Champaign Police spokesman Tom Yellick said the department continues to urge voluntary compliance. With daily additions of new positive COVID-19 cases continuing in the five-figure range statewide, Illinois was on the verge Monday of reaching a half million cases. In Champaign County, cases also continued to climb, with the seven-day average test positivity rate in county at 7.8% and for the East Central Illinois Region 6 at 11.3%, with both figures excluding University of Illinois saliva tests. Pride said anyone wishing to make a complaint against a restaurant or bar in Champaign County that is continuing to serve indoors can call 217-239-7877. That's 217-239-7877. Or send an email to coronavirus@cuphd.org. coronavirus@cuphd.org. The next headline reads, Illinois impact. As state closes in on half a million confirmed cases, hope emerges about a coronavirus vaccine. Region 6's seven-day positivity rate continued to trend in the wrong direction, rising from 10.8% to 11.3%. Champaign County's rate was third lowest, just 0.2% off Crawford's 7.6%. Fayette's rate was the highest at 25.2%. A woman in her 100s became the 15th Vermilion County resident to lose her life in COVID or to COVID-19. It marked the first area death involving a centenarian. In Champaign County, only one person older than 100 has tested positive. On the day Governor J.B. Pritzker proclaimed, "The virus is winning the war right now," there was reason for optimism about a Pfizer vaccine with a 90% effectiveness rate that Dr. Anthony Fauci called just extraordinary. We'll read more about that in a few minutes. Champaign County active cases outside of CU. Rantoul is at 36. Mahomet is at 19. Savoy is at 13. Tolono, 12. St. Joseph, 11. Gifford, 7. Fisher, 6. Broadlands, Penfield, Thomasboro at 3. Foosland, Sadorus, Seymour, and Sydney at 2. Homer and Philo at 1. With four straight days of 10,000-plus new cases and 498,560 for the pandemic, today is the day Illinois should pass the half-million mark, joining Texas, California, Florida, and New York. And those totals are provided to us by Jeff D'Alessio of the News Gazette. The next headline reads, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. This is for November 10th, 2020. Jim Rosso can be reached at jrosso, J-R-O-S-S-O-W, at newsgazette.com. No way was Tim Wendt going to let Parkland College's Veterans Day tradition slip by the wayside, even if movie making isn't his thing. By any stretch, we're not production people, Parkland's director of enrollment services said, but we're still proud of what we were able to do. Wendt and a handful of others put together a 10-minute Veterans Day tribute that will be made available at Parkland's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. In any other year, Parkland hosts a well-attended gala featuring speakers and University of Illinois ROTC. The pandemic has put the kibosh on that. For the past month, Wendt and company have been collecting photos from staff and students who have served our country. The final digital product was submitted Monday morning. It's hugely important that we did something, says Wendt, an Army veteran who has been at Parkland since 2002. Veterans Day is near and dear to so many staff and students here. We did not want a year to go by without doing something. And there's a nice photo of Tim Wendt. And it's a picture of him in kind of an Army, actually it's a security guard uniform, but it says Tim Wendt served 3 years in the U.S. Army. That was a caption underneath there, his photo. And the next headline reads, Area History. Area History in 1920. Armistice Day was to be observed in Urbana schools the following day with programs at the high school and grade schools. Champaign High School students were to have a two-day holiday that week as a result of high school visiting day following Armistice Day. In 1970, plans for a 9-acre, 900-unit mobile home park and a $9 million, 600-unit apartment complex were presented to the Urbana Plan Commission. The apartment complex, called Town and Country, was on North Cunningham Avenue. The mobile home park was to be built north of Interstate 75 between Brownfield Road and U.S. 45. In 2005, a downtown landmark was demolished to make way for a restaurant bar going in next door. The tiny building at 30 Chester Street that housed Dan's Hat Shop for nearly 40 years was torn down the previous week. Downtown businessman Marco Nieto, owner of the property, said he planned to use the space to add on to the adjacent building at 32 to 34 Chester Street. That building housed Johnston's Sports Shop for 31 years of its 75 years in business, and Nieto said a new future planned or had a new future planned for it. It's going to be a new or a bar. It's going to be a new restaurant or bar, said Nieto, who, with his brother Carlos and Tiffany Moot, operated six other night spots in downtown Champaign. International history, today's highlight. On November 10, 1775, the United States Marines were organized under authority of the Continental Congress. On this date, in 1766, Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, had its beginnings as William Franklin, the Royal Governor of New Jersey, signed a charter establishing Queens College in New Brunswick. In 1982, the newly finished Vietnam Veterans Memorial was opened to its first visitors in Washington, D.C., 3 days before its dedication. The next headline reads, Ask the Admin, a daily question for Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. I think that managing a public health department during a pandemic must take superhuman ability. I can't help but notice that you share a last name with Kitty Pride, a superhero who is best known as a member of the X-Men team. Are you related? Answer, funny you should ask. Yes, Kitty Pride from X-Men is my niece. Some say the resemblance is uncanny. She has the ability to break through walls, which she inherited from her father, my brother. I have the ability to break through red tape. As the first female administrator in CUPHD's 83-year history, I apparently also had the unknown ability to break through glass ceilings. And the next headline reads, October incident. She's going through a lot. Victim of alleged drunk driver has a long road to recovery. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Champaign. It's a safe bet Monica McCoy had no idea what hit her almost 3 weeks ago. In and out of consciousness since being critically injured in a vehicle versus pedestrian collision, the 36-year-old single mother probably realizes her life will never be the same. The same could probably be said for the woman accused of driving under the influence who hit her. Barbara Ann Anastasi, 66, of Champaign, remains jailed in lieu of a $250,000 bond. She is still not quite out of the clear, Tabricia Rice of Rantoul said of her older sister. She has a lot of injuries. Her spinal cord is broken. Her vertebrae, ribs, and shoulder are fractured. She was in a wreck about 15 to 20 years ago and had a plate in her pelvis that was knocked loose. She has bleeding in her brain. She is going through a lot, said Rice. McCoy, who hails from Danville but lives in Champaign, has been at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana since about 10 p.m. October 22nd. About 20 minutes earlier, she and a male friend were crossing the 1900 block of West Springfield Avenue from north to south in a crosswalk when an eastbound compact sport utility vehicle hit her, sending her flying in the air. Kevin McGuire of Urbana was headed west on Springfield to Wienerschnitzel for a hot dog when he came upon the motionless woman and her companion. A man sprung into the air, screaming, crying, yelling, maybe into the phone he was holding, maybe at the lifeless form in the road, said McGuire, who had not seen the collision. McGuire pulled up close, opened his door, turned on his hazard lights, and called 911. His immediate thought was to keep other motorists behind him from blundering into the couple. Within seconds, the woman who had struck McCoy approached on foot, McGuire said. People were yelling at her, and she seemed kind of out of it as well, he said. The response time was incredible. I was so proud of the people responding and the way they responded. They were so quick, he said. McGuire said McCoy's male friend had rolled her from her stomach onto her back. The guy was in so much pain, it was pretty clear he probably thought he'd never see her again, he said. Rice said she and her sister's boyfriend, Avery, whose last name she doesn't know, have been the only two allowed to see McCoy at the hospital. Rice is taking care of McCoy's 12-year-old son, Nazir, who will be 13 soon. She also has three children of her own, ages 15, 9, and 7, and works two jobs. The strain of seeing and worrying about her sister is palpable. Rice said McCoy has seven brothers and sisters, two in Danville, where they grew up, and five in Rantoul. McCoy and her son live in an apartment not far from where the collision happened. Last week, Rice created a GoFundMe account, Monica's Road to Recovery, to help with her sister's many anticipated expenses since she did not have insurance. Rice said McCoy was employed full-time as a licensed practical nurse in Danville. She was also working through a Peoria college to earn her degree as a registered nurse and was set to graduate in December. She's asking about her books. She was crazy about school, Rice said, speculating that her sister was probably on her way back home to study after taking a break to play slots nearby, one of her favorite pastimes. Monica is a very, very helpful person. She's all about her family. She will give someone the shirt off her back. She's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. She's funny, said Rice, who said her sister is not the kind of person who would want people to feel sorry for her. Anastasi is set to be in court this afternoon for a probable cause hearing and a motion to reduce her bond. When Anastasi was arraigned the day after the collision, State's Attorney Julia Reitz said preliminary information from police was that Anastasi had been at a nearby bar and consumed two alcoholic drinks. The officer who talked to her believed she was impaired and arrested her. She had told him she also had undergone gastric bypass surgery. An accident reconstruction specialist from the Illinois State Police has been assigned to further investigate the mechanics of the collision. Anastasi's attorney, Jason Welge of LaGrange, issued a statement that week, or last week, calling what happened to McCoy an unfortunate and tragic accident, and that Anastasi looks forward to explaining her role in this tragic turn of events at trial. We, like everyone else, pray for the speedy and complete recovery of the victim. We cannot, however, agree that any lingering injuries command pretrial incarceration of Barbara Ann, and we demand her immediate release, he said. Rice, who had a gastric sleeve put on in August, said recipients of the weight reduction procedure are warned about the risks involved with drinking alcohol. She said she was at least grateful that Anastasi stopped when she realized what had happened. The next headline reads, a workout in the park. And there's a big photograph in the very center of page one of the B section. Westside Park, to do Tai Chi, stretching, or other types of exercises. They've been meeting since April after their regular fitness program ended in-person classes and moved online. Sorry, there's some strange phrasing here. The people exercising at the park are all participants in the Lifetime Fitness Program for adults age 55 and older, run by the University of Illinois' Kinesiology Department. When the program ended its in-person exercise sessions in the spring due to the pandemic, this small group of participants began meeting in the park to continue to exercise together outdoors. We formed terrific bonds. We're a very tight group, said Charmaine Young of Champaign, who has been exercising with a Lifetime Fitness program for 30 years. The people who meet at the park are all in their late 70s or 80s. Their closeness is why some of them have been able to continue exercising together in person, because they trust each other to be careful, Young said. They wear masks and social distance at the park. The Lifetime Fitness program classes are a mix of stretching, strengthening, balance, and aerobic workouts. The program now meets over Zoom for online classes twice a week, and the group meets at the park on four other mornings. When they started exercising in the park, the participants saw a woman who was doing Tai Chi. When they expressed an interest in learning it, the woman began teaching them twice a week. They often walk around the park after they finish with their group exercise. Just as important as the exercise is the social contact the participants get from getting together. It keeps them from getting down and depressed. It gives us that outlet and connection with each other, Young said. Last week, they had held a coffee tailgate at their cars after they finished exercising, and they sometimes get together to socialize in Young's garage. We don't want to go indoors anywhere, said Young, who acknowledged they'll have to figure out where to exercise when the weather gets bad. She said the group may gather in her garage. But until snow or ice comes and runs us away, we will be there. Regardless of the temperature, we are out there, Young said. And so there's a nice photograph of them. There's a big group of them in the park doing Tai Chi. A group of about a dozen people meet several mornings a week at Champaign's Westside Park. The next headline reads, actually, I'd like to give credit for that article. It's written by Jody Heckel, a writer for the University of Illinois News Bureau, and she is a runner and triathlete. You can email her at prairieathlete@gmail.com or follow her at twitter.com/Jody Heckel. Her blog is at newsgazette.com/blogs/startingline. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. Please stay with me, and I'll return shortly with reading part two of the News Gazette. It's always great to read with you. I'll be back shortly. Thanks again for listening, and have a wonderful day.